Oh man, good morning everybody. We just got back from Super Summer 2026 camp out in Salina, Kansas. Took 15 students and 6 leaders. And could you please give a huge round of applause for our leaders right now? It looks like only 2 survived, and it was Joel and Megan, so I don't know where the other ones are. Thank you, you two. I could not have gotten through it without you. Took 15 students, 6 leaders to Super Summer. This was our 4th time attending Super Summer in Salina, Kansas. The first time was 3 years ago. We went with another church, and I have to say I love Super Summer quite a bit. I have been around a lot of camps. My dad has been speaking at one in Nebraska for 28 years. He had one for, around 10 years that he did in Wyoming. I went to Camp Windermere with our church for a while. Dan started up Camp Revolution. We did that for quite a few years. I volunteered at camps. I've seen every way camp can be done, and Super Summer has been probably my favorite or one of my favorites. I've been to camps where you go, and it's just energy, like level 10 hype the whole time. And it's exhausting. And I've been to some where it's just very stoic. And it's very, you know, you're looking inward and all that kind of stuff. And that's good. But if you have students there that have never heard the gospel, they don't know how to sit still, let alone how to sit still in the presence of God. And so Super Summer does really, really well at kind of merging the two. There's good energy. There's a lot of weird campiness, like screaming wheat and all sorts of stuff. There's good times of reflection, but one thing that struck me well with Super Summer is that they're very gospel-centered, right? They're very serious about the gospel. They want to teach and preach and proclaim the name of Jesus very well, and they give the leaders a good opportunity to do that, and so they kind of merge all this together, which I'm really, really grateful for. So Super Summer is awesome. If you have your Bibles, open it up to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. This is going to be the verse that they camped on, that we're going to be on the whole week. So they had this as like their main theme verse, and they would teach on lots of subjects around it, but they would always bring it back to this verse. And so today my goal is to share just a little bit of camp with you. One of the hardest things to do is to come back after camp and try to explain camp to somebody who was not there because it just sounds weird. It just sounds like a whole different world, and it's like you want to give them a piece of like that Jesus that you felt that week, and it's just it doesn't translate super well. Okay? So in camp fashion, we're all going to read this out loud together. Okay? So get your voices going. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Amen. So, imagine with me for a minute, you've just driven 3 hours on an air-conditioned bus, okay? And I do use air-conditioned very lightly. The first 3 rows, okay-ish. Beyond that, you are on fire. Okay, so you just drove 3 hours. There's music that I am playing that I have been told is called unk music. I don't know. All I know is Preston told me I was number 1 unk, and I'm going to take that because that's the only thing I'm winning in right now. Thank you, Preston. Okay, you can ask him what unk means later. He loves to explain that. Okay, so there's energy, there's excitement, there's a little bit of nervousness for some of our new students that are coming that have never been before, but overall, everybody's kind of ready for camp. So you finally arrive, you get there, and you begin to drive down this really long road towards the campgrounds, and everybody's getting all amped up, and the bus stops, and Coleman Sneed walks onto our bus. And we're like, hey, long time no see. And Coleman gets to pray for our bus, which is awesome, which, by the way, Coleman is doing awesome. Okay, be praying for him. He's doing exactly what God's calling him to do. He's doing amazing. We knew he would, but he's got 3 more weeks of this. Okay, so be praying for him. Anyway, side note. Okay, so you arrive at camp. You finally unpack your stuff. You roam around the campgrounds for a while, and camp slowly, as you're getting there, kind of becomes alive a little bit. Okay, other groups are showing up. Some are small, some are gigantic, and everyone is just as excited as you, and you're going and you're kind of feeling the energy, and then you go to dinner and you make one of two very bad mistakes. Either A, you burp or you sneeze, or B, you do not double tap your cup as you set it down. Okay? Stay with me. If you burp or sneeze and you do not say the words, no bear, you have to do something that looks a little bit like this. So just like normal stuff, you know. If you grab a drink and you take a drink, and we made a lot of rules while we were there, and you set it down and you do not double tap your cup, you are then at the mercy of the entire table, and you will have to do whatever dare they give you. And if you are a middle school boy and you're sitting at my table, you might have to do something like this.
Not before, though.
I don't know, Julia.
Dean's got something he wants to tell you.
If you couldn't hear, I had him profess his undying love to Julia. And it took me about 15 minutes to get him to do it, honestly. And you took it so well, thank you. Yeah, he was so scared. We had people profess their undying love to strangers. We had Evan eat salt at one point. We had people go up to other tables and grab handfuls of rice off their plate. Someone saying I'm a little teapot to a table. I followed a girl for a long time, and they were like, just come back, it's getting weird. We did a lot. And this is just mealtimes, okay? This is high stakes at mealtimes, okay? So you get through dinner, you finally survive it, you go to Monday night chapel. Now, Monday night chapel, I've got a photo right here of our group. I'm going to explain a little bit. So this is our group right here in the front, okay? If you notice, there's a lot of kids behind them, and they have it set up just like here where they have three sections, same on the left and right, and then a giant section in the middle, okay? So this is just to give you an idea. You show up to Monday night chapel, and you look around, and there are 500-plus students and adults in one building. And what's really cool about it is once you get there, you realize that we all have the same goal in mind, which is to uplift the name of Jesus, to proclaim the gospel to all who are here, and to glorify God's name. And you kind of like get that sense. You're there and you're kind of like, man, like I think I'm, like you kind of get ready a little bit. And so as you're going, you see all these people, and worship starts, and it's great. And for some of our students, for the first time, they got to hear what it's like to have 500 people lift up the name of Jesus, right? For some of them, for the first time, they get a glimpse of what heaven's going to be like. And the camp pastor comes out, and as one voice, we read 1 Peter 2:9 that we just read together. As one voice, you get to hear hundreds of people proclaim the living word of God out loud, and you know you're at camp. And the theme is called, right? And the verse was 1 Peter 2:9. And I just thought, man, this is perfect. We are living out this verse actively right now. We are being a royal priesthood. We are being God's people. We are confessing and professing the name of Christ. We are doing all of these things. And so the camp pastor comes up and he starts to unpack the theme for the week called, and he started by saying that you are wanted. Everybody say, you are wanted. Wonderful. He had 3 points. First was Jesus will invade your space. Second was Jesus will reward your faith. And third was humility is always the right response. And the whole night is setting up every student to begin to think about this idea that Jesus is knocking on your door, okay? Jesus is calling you to something. Maybe you're there at camp and you've never heard about Jesus ever. Maybe you're there and your ember is just barely hanging on. Maybe you're there and you're completely on fire for God. But wherever you are with God, his point was that Jesus is calling you to something. Are you going to respond? And he asks us questions like, will you let Jesus in? Will you lower your net? Which, that's a whole thing with Luke, and I can't go into it. Okay? Will you lower your guards? Will you lower your walls? Will you allow Jesus to do the work in your heart and in your life that he's calling you to do? And so night one comes, and I'll be honest, I had a lot of middle school boys. It stuck around for a while, okay? A long time from Monday night. But, I'm going to skip that part. I told myself I wouldn't mention farts as much as I did last year, so it stinks that they're funny, but that's all right. Okay, moving on. So our night came, stayed for a while. It went finally, okay? God was gracious enough to wake us all up to glorify his name the next day, and the day was full of laughter. This is first full day, Tuesday, full of laughter. One thing you have to understand about camp, and Dan can attest to this, is each camp kind of has its own flavor, so to speak. It has its own kind of, not the theme, but like it has its own thing. So, for example, the first year we went, I would say we were willing but unsure because we'd never been to Super Summer. And so we were just kind of trying to figure out, what is this camp really about? What are we doing here? We had a lot of fun. God moved and spoke to us, but it was kind of like, we're willing to be here, but we're unsure. Second year, I would classify as spiritual warfare. Second year was rough. We had a lot of students that were dealing with a lot of heavy, heavy topics. There was a lot of crying. There was a lot of praying. There was a lot of difficult conversations. Third year, I was going to say was laid back but questioning, meaning that all of us had been there quite a few times, very chill kind of camp, but we had a lot of students that had a lot of questions, and a lot of students last year made really strong commitments, right? We had baptisms, re-baptisms come from it. We had people finally giving their hearts. We had a lot happening, but it was pretty laid back. And then this year, I would classify as laughter. We laughed a lot. They're already laughing. They can't stop, right? We laughed a lot. We had a lot of fun. There weren't really any times when the whole room was just sobbing together. There weren't a lot of really, really intense conversations. There was a few, right? But overall, the whole theme of camp was just joy, was just fun, was just laughter. And sometimes those camps are really, really special. We played stuff like taco cat goat cheese pizza. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I was pretty bad, okay? They had been playing for well over 30 minutes. I came in, and the way to end the game is to lose. I ended that game in 7 minutes, okay? I got all of the cards very quickly, and I'm still number one unk. Okay. We swam that day. We played weird mealtime games. We played really fun card games. We stayed up late. We ate junk food. We approached night two of the first full day of camp. And the pastor gets on stage, and as one voice we read, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." And then he says to everyone, "You have access." And the whole night was about the fact that right now, in this moment, you have access to God of the universe because of Christ. But what are you going to do with it? Are you going to ignore Christ's calling on your life? Are you going to respond? If you don't know God, are you going to allow him to speak to you and respond to it? If you do know God, are you going to allow him to speak to the things that you maybe don't want him to and respond to it? And he gives three awesome points. He says, number one, those closest to Christ are confident. Those closest to Christ are happiest. And those closest want to stay close. And he asked the crowd, I'm going to ask you now, how confidently do you know Jesus? Do you just know about his existence? Do you know him like a distant friend, or do you know him like the God he is? And he did this wonderful explanation about knowing. He said, I've got a wife. If someone came up to me and asked me my wife's favorite color, food, if they asked her favorite movie, if they asked me anything about my wife, I know. I've lived with her, he said, 20 plus years. I know her. I know my wife like I know nobody else. Now, if somebody asked me, do you know the president? I would say, well, yeah, I know the president, right? I've seen some things on social media. I know him. But I don't know the president like I know my wife. And so he's breaking down this whole thing, and his whole point was that belief in alone isn't it. Because the Bible says that even the demons believe in God and they tremble. And there's this really, really, really terrifying verse in Matthew 7 where Jesus is talking. And he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, evildoers. So the motions and belief there is a God isn't the same as knowing God. The kind of knowing the president isn't the same as knowing my wife. And then he said that when you know Jesus and not just about Jesus, that your life will completely change. That you will begin to kind of, he said the word ooze, which I think is a fun word, ooze Jesus. He said you would smell like your shepherd. If you go to somebody and they smell like the world, then you need to question if their shepherd is Jesus or the world. And so he begins to break down this concept with the students, and he ends at night in a very graphic crucifixion and gospel presentation, and which I won't do, I promise, because Eliza almost passed out. Very graphic. It'll stick in your brain. And he was describing this horrific murder of our Lord, and as he's talking about it, it just got me thinking. It got me thinking about what am I doing now in this moment to follow the one who died for me? And it got me thinking because he's talking about this really graphic crucifixion and how they beat him and they put nails in the very people that are putting nails in his hands and his feet, the very people who are stabbing the crown of thorns into his skull, the very people who are beating him and spitting at him, the very people who are saying, crucify him, crucify him. He's on the cross looking at the very people that he's dying for. And I just, man, it just struck me that my sins are the reason that Christ is on the cross. And what a hard thing for students and adults to come to terms with. Our sin is what put Jesus on the cross. That was hard. That was hard to hear. Night two goes, and day three starts. And as you're going, you kind of get this idea that you kind of get an idea of what camp is all about. And you kind of start doing all the things that you know to do. You start, we did archery. We did all these things. You guys ready? At some point we went, nice, thank you. I told him to do that, by the way. You're doing all these things. You're trying to learn. You're trying to interact. You start to see the students come alive because they're not doing this. Right? What? They're trying to tell me they're not that bad. Right? The students apart from our group, are starting to come alive. They start to interact with people. There's social interactions happening. There's a whole world and nature and everything. And the camp is starting to come alive. And there's something that's called the camp bubble, which is where you're so distracted by the world that when you come to camp, all you're distracted by is Jesus. You've got the Word of God. You've got quiet time. You've got morning chapel. You've got night chapel. You've got worship. You've got all these things, and you have no phone. You have no outside influence, and this sphere, this bubble begins to form over camp where it's, I like to think of it as God's protection, and it forms, and usually about day three, usually on Wednesday, is when you can really feel it solidify, and you know camp is full swing. And so students are interacting. We're being much more weird than we were before. We're singing. We're dancing. We're doing all this stuff. And then night three comes up. And the pastor gets up on stage, and he reads, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. And at first, when you hear that verse, you're kind of thinking like, all right, this kind of makes me feel good. This is kind of nice. And then you hear it the second time, you're like, I still feel good, but something's happening. And then by night three, you're like, I feel like there's something more to this verse than what he's saying. And he goes on there, and sure enough, he says, you are set apart. And the whole night is about how the believer in Christ should behave. And he has 3 points. If you haven't caught, he's very structured. Okay. Number one, don't try to follow Jesus and stand at a distance. Number two, don't try to follow Jesus and act like he's not Lord. Number three, don't try to follow Jesus and miss out on his comfort. And the night consisted of the pastor challenging everyone with some powerful questions. Questions like, are you living half up or half down? Are you claiming to follow Christ without living like he's Lord of your life? Have you experienced the comfort of God? And the whole point was, hey, if you're going to claim it, you better walk it. If you're going to claim that you know the King of Kings, that you know the Lord of Lords, if you're going to claim that Christ came, died for your sins, you better live in such a way that people can recognize the lordship over your life. They want to see the evidence of what we claim. Don't try to follow Jesus and not engage in the things he calls you to. And right now for us, engagement, I think, can be difficult, not just us Living Stones, but anybody who's walking with Christ. Engage in the kingdom of God. Are you just an observer? Because I got to tell you, there are no sideline Christians. There are no passive Christians. There's no one that's going to be in the kingdom of God that has not engaged with the kingdom of God. And so engage family and culture. Engage believers and non-believers. Stand up for your faith. Go out, proclaim the gospel. Bring people, invite them in. I mean, do whatever you can. Whatever the calling is that God has on your life, go and do it. Don't try to follow Jesus and stand at a distance. Don't try to act like he's the Lord of your life, but have no fruit. And so this is what he's telling this whole camp. The time to rest is not now. The time to rest is when you're standing before the Lord and he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's when we get to rest, because we know that we're with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We know that we've done the work he's called us to. And so right now, we have to engage in this body, engage in the people outside, engage in whatever's happening so that we can proclaim the name of Jesus to as many as possible, so that one day we can see as many people as possible. Jesus goes and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's why we're here. That's what we're doing. And so we do all of this, knowing at the end of the night that one day we will stand before God and we're going to hear one of two things, talking about this and processing this. And so we go to sleep that night and we wake up to glorify God day four. And we get there, and day four, pastor looks at us, 500 people, we read our verse, and he says, you are treasured. And he says, failure is not final. Failure does not cancel your calling. Failure should lead to follow. And he broke down this idea that failure is not the end of your calling from God. Your calling from God is to go and make what? Disciples. That's your calling. Go and make disciples. Well, how do we do that? Right? We serve people. We go to church. We come together. We worship together. We hear Dan divide the word of God properly. We go out. We tell non-believers about Jesus. We bring them in. We tell believers about Jesus. We bring them in. We have Bible studies. We have times together. We have one-on-ones. We have conversations. We call people. We pray for people. All of the things that we know to do, all of these rules that we're following, is not just things to do because it's a checklist. It's things to do because we are trying to make disciples of Christ. We are trying to show everybody at every opportunity how you can be more like Jesus, how you can experience the kingdom of God now and how you can take that and you can give it to somebody else. That's what we're here for, right? Making disciples, going out, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, your soul. All of that stuff is all encompassing. All the things that we do week after week, and sometimes, and I know this happens to some of you, it's happened to me before, sometimes you come week after week, and you kind of start getting weary, and you kind of start thinking, man, like, what are we doing? And you just kind of slow down. But I'm telling you all, God has not asked you to slow down. You can rest when you're in his presence. You have a calling. You have a job. You have a purpose until the day that he calls you home. And I know Dan's been preaching on this for weeks and weeks and years and years. If you ain't dead, you ain't done. God has a plan for you guys. And this is what this pastor is telling the students and the leaders. God has a plan. He's got a purpose for you. And if you fail, that's not the end of it. Hear me. There is a general calling and a specific calling. When you fail at times, so for example, I'm a pastor. If I was a drunk or I cheated on Brooke, or I had unruly children, or I didn't have good self-control, multiple things, I would be disqualified from my specific calling as a pastor, right? That's a specific calling. God has called me to be a pastor. I responded. I'm being obedient. But I can disqualify myself from that specific calling. You cannot disqualify yourself from the general calling to make disciples. You can't. You can't be bad enough. You can't fail enough times to get out of what God has called you to do. Because I'll be honest, if you can't do good enough works to get into heaven, you can't do bad enough failures to kick yourself out. Because if we could, what are we believing in? How strong is the blood of Christ? If I believe that I can only be so bad until the blood of Christ covers me, then what am I doing? I believe that there's a king out there that was at the beginning of time, at the beginning of the foundations of the earth, that all things were made through and for, that he died, he rose again, he's going to be there at the end to clean house. I believe in that Christ, and I believe that that Christ has covered my sin until the day I die and I go before the Lord of the universe. And so if I believe that every failure I have stops me from doing what God's called me to do, what am I doing? God is calling each of you to keep pushing, to keep moving forward. You fall, you get up, you fail. And there are consequences for our failures. There are. But it does not disqualify you from the general calling to go and make disciples and to love the Lord your God. Can you choose to not accept that gift? Yes, of course. Can you say, I'm not following God? Yes, of course. That's a failure. But Christ's blood is covering you more than your sins. And when God looks at you on the day that you die, he's going to see Christ on you. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. So we get through that night. We do all of this stuff. Day 4, usually pretty intense night for a lot. He talks about failures. He talks about Christ. He talks about all these things. And just like that, the night was over. And like, we still have like half a day left, but it kind of feels like camp is over. It's really strange. And so we go back to our dorms, we pray, and I'm sitting there as the camp pastor's ending, excuse me, and I can't help but pray over my students that I got there. That's you guys. They're standing in front of me, and I'm just thinking, like, these are the kids that God's given me to minister to. These are the students that God has placed in my life in this moment that I get to pour into and I get to talk to about Jesus and I get to love. And so I'm just praying for them and I'm just like, God, like, you know, show yourself to them. Reveal yourself to them in this moment. Holy Spirit, transform their lives. Jesus, become Lord of their lives. And guys, please be praying the same thing for them. If you guys don't know these students, get to know them. They are awesome. We have a good group of students. They could be a lot worse. I have been a part of some groups that they were. We have good students with good hearts. You guys. So the final night was over. We go to sleep. We wake up very early for KP duty, which is where you go to the kitchen. I think we woke up at like 6:45, and we went to bed at like, who knows, 2? Yeah, that's insanity. So we go to KP duty, and we serve. We get to serve the camp. Every group has a chance to serve in breakfast, and so it's this opportunity to teach kids who do not want to be there. You guys were good. That usually don't want to be there, that, hey, this entire camp has served us all week. It's our chance to now serve the body. Go and serve the people. And so we do KP duty. It goes very well. We crush it, of course. And so we do all these things, and we wake up to the day. We do a little bit of everything, get packed. If you guys don't believe in miracles, you would have after you saw the boys' room before and after. I walked in, and I was like, it ain't going to happen. We're here till Saturday, right? And it got cleaned, and it looked decent. I was shocked, and I was like, the Lord is moving in this place tonight. It didn't smell better, but that's okay. What do you guys say? They're laughing. Anyway. Okay. So we go back to the place. We have chapel one last time, Friday morning. Worship's going, 500 people proclaiming the name of Jesus. Everybody's super amped up because either they're super emotional and tired or they had an actual encounter with God. Either way, everyone is singing their hearts out. The worship band's going, we're praying. It's great. And the pastor comes up and we read as one body, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. And he looked at everyone and he said, you are sent. You are sent. And he commissioned everyone in that place to go and do the work you're called to do. And he had 3 points. One, he says, start by asking God for courage. Two, you don't have to be educated to be effective. And three, let this thing that we're doing, sad baby, be your joy and not your job. And one final time, the pastor on stage tried to impress on everyone the importance and the power of the gospel. One more time, he tried to explain the depth of God's love. He tried to explain how necessary God is in your life. One final time, he's trying to plant that seed that he is praying God will water later. And we left, and we got back on our air-conditioned bus. And on our way home, our phones were given back, and slowly the world started penetrating that bubble. That thing that you created while you're gone, that unique weirdness that covered you. And you could feel it, and you always do each year, and it stinks. It stinks to be on the bus, and you can just kind of feel the world getting back at you, and kids are opening their phones, and their phones are ba-doo, 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 right? And they're saying, oh, I've got 57,000 Snapchats. That's crazy, right? And they're getting texts, and they're getting calls, and the world is slowly coming back. And we're trying to maintain that camp high, but we know that we're coming back to reality, to a world that does not care, right? And you try to go home and you try to explain, oh, this happened and this happened, and your parents are like, that's awesome. Please take out the trash, right? And you're like, cool. And they're like, sweet, you left some food in your room and a mouse came in, right? But since we have brought a glimpse of camp, I want to end just with these things. I want you guys to think about this as we close. Because the hardest thing is to bring back camp, but there's always something that God speaks about that we can all learn from. And so remember this. You are wanted. You have access. You are set apart. You are treasured. And you are sent. Don't try to be a sideline Christian. Don't try to just skate by. Don't ever doubt that one day you will stand before the God of the universe. You will. And when he asks you, why am I letting you into heaven? Your answer better be Jesus, because that's the only way you're getting there. And if you think you know God, but you don't look anything like him, then you need to start asking yourself why that is. If you're walking and you're saying, I'm following Jesus, but he's not actually Lord of your life, then you need to begin to process and think, how do I get to that? Because we have the time now. God has given it to us. I don't know what time, 11:52. God gave you a lot of minutes this morning to figure out whether or not you're serving him or not. And so don't leave this place the same. Allow God to do a work in your life. Allow the Holy Spirit to fill you and to transform you and make you more like Jesus. So when you leave those two doors, you can find someone and disciple them. You don't have to know it all. You don't have to get a degree in it. You learn a little bit and then you bring someone up to where you are. You learn a little bit more and you bring them up to where you are. Just tell somebody what he did in your life. Tell them about the comfort. Tell them about the joy. Tell them about the laughter. Tell them about him walking you through hard times. Tell them about your fears. Tell them about your testimony. Sometimes we get it in our head and it's so difficult. And guys, it's not. We have to proclaim the news of Christ to everyone. And we get in our heads and we get distracted and we get worried about it. But when you stand before the God of the universe, all that's going away. And you're either covered by the blood of Christ or you're not. And that's the urgency that we have. That's the urgency that we should have. So put your eyes on Jesus, and I want you to act like a chosen people. I want you to act like a royal priesthood, a holy nation, like God's special possession, so that you may go and declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. That's what we're doing here. And that's what camp was all about for us. That's what we learned. We laughed a lot. Let me pray for y'all, and then I'm going to dismiss you. God, thank you for all who are here today. God, I pray that something would land in our hearts and our minds, that we would realize that we are called to something, maybe multiple somethings. And so, God, I just pray that you would help your people to learn more about you, that you would help your people to hunger for your word, to hunger to make disciples, to desire to do the things that you've called them to do. God, that we wouldn't sit on the sidelines, that we wouldn't be passive, that we wouldn't try to just coast to the end and hopefully we get to see your face, Lord. No, that we would go forth, that we would serve, that we would act, that we would be bold. God, that we would have courage, that we would lean on you, that we would do all of these things that you're calling us to. Not to make our way to heaven, but because we love you. So God, just be with your people. Teach us. Love us. Please forgive us. And all God's people said, amen. Hey, I love y'all. Hope you guys have a wonderful Sunday. Thank you so much for being here. Find a student that you haven't talked to. Get to know them. Pray for them throughout the year. You guys have a wonderful Sunday. God bless you.